And welcome into another edition of the Future Brew Podcast right here on the Mazer Brew Podcast Network. I am Vaughn Lozon, joined by John Simmons, my co-host, as always. And we've got a lot to get through, so we are just going to jump right into the podcast today. We are coming off our second straight weekend of Junior Day coverage here. So there were, you know, a lot of decent prospects for the first weekend for Michigan's Junior Day, bringing in kids in the 2024 class and beyond in some circumstances, mainly 2024 prospects that we're going to be talking about. So we talked about the kids that were on campus a couple weekends ago last week, and now this week we will discuss the prospects who are on campus just this past weekend. So before we get into that, John, how are you doing today, my friend, and recruiting? It's finally a thing again. We got quite a bit to talk about. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, excited for signing day tomorrow, though it's not like the hype as it once was this February 1 at least. But there's still some guys out there for Michigan, and honestly, pretty excited for 2024 more than anything with all the guys they've been getting on campus.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited for the 24 class. They've had quite a bit of highly talented prospects in the 24 class on campus these last two weekends. And we're going to talk about a lot of them today who were on campus this past weekend. And for all of the 2023 February signing period coverage, stick with Mazer Brew. We'll have a story on Nick Harbor at some point, whether he picks Michigan or not. And Cameron Brandt, we're expecting a decision from him as well. But let's get into these 2024 guys, because we got quite a bit to go through here today. Let's start with one of the surprise names who was in town this past weekend, one of the elite talents in the 2024 class, and that's four-star wide receiver Mylon Graham. He's 6 foot, 170 pounds. He's from New Haven, Indiana, ranked number 32 overall on the composite, so he is right around five-star status. Wouldn't be shocked if he ends up a five-star. He has offers from the best of the best in college football, as you would imagine, but has two crystal balls in for Ohio State. So, John, not much was really detailed about this visit, how it went, just yet, at least. I would expect one of the, you know, whether it's On Three or 24/7, I'm sure somebody will talk to him at some point in the near future if he is receptive to an interview. I haven't seen anything out there yet, but getting a surprise visitor from a borderline five-star, that's, John, that's always a good thing, my friend.
Yeah, that's a great sign for Michigan, just to get these guys up on campus seemingly at the drop of a hat. So I'm excited for Michigan's chances here, as they're going after that state big time in this class, and hopefully they can pull some more guys out. They've already got a good start, but I think it'd just be good to get that contingent going and maybe really swing the momentum and put a dent in the Buckeyes recruiting there.
Yeah, because like I said, they got the two crystal balls as of right now. And, you know, again, not a whole lot of details on how the visit went or anything like that. This is definitely developing, so we'll try and get some updates at a later time on MazerBrew.com. But yeah, one of the elite premier wide receivers in this 2024 class. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball, John, and chat about one of the more important defensive recruits Michigan is going after in this 2024 cycle, and that is four-star linebacker Aaron Chiles. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He is 6'3", 210, from the state of Maryland. He is number 66 on the composite, number 5 at the linebacker position. He spoke with Sam Webb after his visit. He said it was a great time. He's built a strong relationship with the defensive coaches, mainly linebackers coach George Hilo. And he said that whenever he cuts down his list of schools, Michigan will definitely be on his next cut down of the list. And he's it sounds like he's definitely going to make an official visit to Michigan at some point later this year, too, whether that be in the spring or the summer, perhaps even a fall visit if he takes his recruitment that far. He also, John, before we started recording, saw that EJ Holland over at the Wolverine had an update on him, and that Michigan is now the leader, just clear number one school for him in his recruiting, or is in his recruitment, I should say. And that's always great to hear, especially at a position of need like linebacker. They're definitely going to have to hit a few of these guys in this class. And Aaron Chiles, he's a you know, borderline top 50 guy. He's number 66 overall in the nation. Really hoping to make a big move this weekend. And that's what Michigan did with Aaron Chile. So, John, really good to hear how great the visit went and that Michigan is now his number one school.
Yeah, I think it was also notable that he not only said that Michigan would be on his top list, but that they would definitely be getting an official visit. So, I mean, those two usually go hand in hand, but getting him back on campus is going to be huge. I think it's kind of surprising that he hadn't been up so far already, because Michigan's been recruiting him for a while now and have been doing a good job. But I think it's a good sign that he was so high on Michigan before he'd even stepped on campus. Now that he's seen everything and he's still, you know, he's really blown away by it, I think it puts Michigan in a really good spot here at a big position of need for the next class.
Yeah, big position of need for sure. I mean, he's got other offers from Alabama and Clemson and Georgia. And I mean, the list goes on and on for the amount of really high level schools that have offered him a scholarship. So to have Michigan be number one at the moment coming out of this visit, you can't do any better than that. So that is certainly good news, especially at such a position of need moving forward in this 2024 class. Let's go to the running back position and talk about a couple guys who were on campus this weekend. Let's start with four-star Taylor Tatum. The Texas native made his first visit to Ann Arbor this past weekend, and judging by how things went, it probably is not going to be his final visit to Michigan. He is 5'10", 195. He's number 73 overall in the composite, number 5 at the running back position in the country, and has other significant offers from Georgia, Bama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, pretty much every major team in college football that you would expect. And the other prospect who came up to Michigan, who is also a four-star running back here, DeJuan Williams. He is number 299 overall in the country and number 25 overall at the running back position. He's 5'10", 195, much like Taylor Tatum is, from a pretty familiar place called St. Francis Academy. And Michigan has recruited that school very hard over the last few cycles. And also, like Tatum, DeJuan Williams also has an offer from Ohio State. He also has offers from schools like Penn State, Maryland, Duke, Pitt, plenty more where that came from as well. So, John, regarding these two, I would say that Tatum is clearly, you know, it's probably 1A, 1B as far as the running back targets go for Michigan in this class, with Tatum and then Jordan Marshall, the four-star from Ohio. But with DeJuan Williams, certainly a talent that you want to recruit and want to, at the very least, keep warm throughout the process. So we'll see how things go with Tatum and Marshall before we hit Williams harder on the recruiting trail, at the very least. But the other good thing that Michigan has going for them when it comes to Taylor Tatum is he has aspirations of playing baseball in college. And he also met with Michigan baseball's new head coach, Tracy Smith, who is also recruiting him to play for their program as well. So Michigan isn't the only school doing that, but his interest level in doing both at Michigan sounds like it's a very possible thing. And the ability to play both sports at the collegiate level sounds like it's going to be a big factor in his recruitment. So with these two respective guys, John, take me through your thought process coming out of their respective visits this past weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign that Mike Hart is kind of expanding his board a little bit more to have a guy like Williams up with a top target like Tatum, you know, because I think in the past Hart would kind of keep his board pretty compact and only go after a few guys. But the issue is if he doesn't get those top guys, then there's not enough guys that he has good relationships with behind him to pick up a quality lower tier option. And I think, you know, you get Tatum up, guy that they really like, top 100 guy in the country. And Michigan, I think, sits in a good spot right now, but he is from Texas and he has, you know, all of the more local schools on him right now too. So it's definitely not a slam dunk. But getting another four-star up there in Williams, who has big time offers and comes from a pipeline school for Michigan before Biff Poggi left, at least. But I think they still have a good relationship there. But having him up is a great fallback option if things with Tatum or Marshall go through, because those certainly aren't layups. But Michigan still looks to be in a good spot with multiple four-star running backs, which is good because I think they'll need at least two next class.
Agreed. I think they need to hit on two of these highly regarded running backs. And Mike Hart, to his credit, he's really picked up his game on the recruiting trail. He's offered a lot more running backs than what you are at least used to seeing out of Mike Hart. He very seldom offered guys when he was at Indiana, and he was very selective with the players that he had been recruiting up to this point. But he's really kicked it into high gear with offering some kids in the 24 class and beyond at his position. So really important to land a couple of these guys, like you said, and Taylor Tatum, Jordan Marshall, DeJuan Williams. I mean, certainly all high-end prospects that Michigan very well could land in this class. They can't get them all, but you got to at least try for all of these guys that they want to go after. So we will continue talking about more prospects here, but let's just give a quick shout out here to Manscaped, our podcast sponsor, and they are now selling beard products. And I quite literally just used the new beard hedger. And let me tell you guys, I mean, this thing is crazy. I literally used this just about an hour or so ago before I took my shower. You can use it in the shower. It's waterproof, but I decided to do it right before that. But this entire beard hedger pro kit, it's incredible. It starts with the beard hedger itself, which is a cordless trimmer, has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all with one guard. It is incredibly easy to use, guys. So you don't have to have drawers filled with extra add-ons and stuff. It's just all in one. It is an all-encompassing beard trimmer. It is incredible. 20 different beard lengths and just one guard. And like I said, it's waterproof, so you can do it in the shower if you want to avoid all the hair in the sink. So if you want to be one of the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs, use the promo code MNB20 at manscaped.com and you'll get 20% off with free shipping. Now let's chat about our last handful of prospects here, John, who were on campus this past weekend for the Wolverines Junior Day, their second straight. Let's start the second half of this podcast off on this is going to be a really good note, because the next four prospects here are going to be from the state of Ohio. It's always great to see highly ranked kids from the state of Ohio visit Ann Arbor and to strongly consider Michigan. And that's exactly what these next two kids did over the weekend. They are four-star cornerback Aaron Scott and four-star edge Elias Robinson. Let's start with Scott. He was a bit of a surprise visitor as well. He's 6'1", 170 from Springfield, Ohio, number 123 overall in the composite, number 11 at the cornerback position, and number 4 in his state. He's got an offer from Ohio State, so they are the program to watch for him moving forward. He's got two crystal balls for the Buckeyes, so they are certainly the top, team to watch for other than Michigan in this recruitment. As far as Robinson goes, he's also a huge target for Michigan. He is 6'4", 220. He's from Cincinnati, number 116 overall on the composite, number 11 edge, and number 3 in Ohio in 2024. So like Scott, Robinson also holds an offer from Ohio State. But the thing is, Cincinnati's never been a huge stopping ground for Ohio State or Ohio State fans. So this one seems more winnable, in my opinion, than Aaron Scott. And I'll ask for your opinion on that in just a second, John. But it also helps that Michigan offered Robinson a few months before Ohio State did, so they got in on it a little early. He has seen Michigan up close. Obviously, he's seen Ohio State as well, but he's already been to Michigan a couple times, so it's nice that he was able to see Michigan again. So, John, Robinson, he came with a contingent of teammates from his high school in Cincinnati as well. And with Steve Klinkscale leading the charge for all these Ohio kids on the recruiting trail, I strongly believe Michigan will have a shot with any kid that they want from the state of Ohio moving forward because of Klinkscale and because of the program's recent success just in general, but especially against Ohio State. Want to get your thoughts on where you think Michigan stands with these two guys. I tend to lean more towards Michigan having a slight lead for Robinson and trailing for Aaron Scott, but I want to get your thoughts on both of these highly regarded prospects from Ohio.
Now, I think I'm maybe conflating Brian Robinson and Elias Rudolph.
I completely meant to say Rudolph. I apologize. Okay. Elias Rudolph. Too many.
I definitely think Michigan leads for Robinson.
Yes.
For Brian Robinson. Yes. Elias Rudolph, I have a little skepticism with, I think, because he actually does hold that Ohio State offer, so you never know. You know, OSU hasn't offered Brian Robinson yet, so I think that one's kind of more of a slam dunk for Michigan. But like you said, he's from Cincinnati, which is not always a lock for kids from there to go to Columbus. So I think Michigan will have a fighter's chance there. And then the cornerback, I actually think that Michigan has a better shot with Bryce West, which is kind of, you know, backwards because he's so much higher rated. But I just think that this is the first time he's been to campus, I believe, for in a while at least. And so he hasn't been up as many times as West has, and just seemed to only come up with the big group of visitors. So I'm not sure where Michigan stands there right now, but I would say that's a little bit of a longer shot than I think Rudolph or even a guy like Bryce West is right now.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I do think Michigan stands a better chance with Bryce West as well, who, if you don't know who he is, five-star prospect on the composite, number one player in the state of Ohio, and was just up to Michigan a couple weeks ago. And big apologies on my part for messing that up with Rudolph and confusing probably everybody listening to this. I definitely meant Elias Rudolph. Brian Robinson, like you said, does not have an Ohio State offer, did not visit this past weekend. He was expected to maybe come in, but I think he visited Pitt or some other program instead, so he did not come in. But Elias Rudolph, it just seems like Michigan's going to stand a better chance in that one regarding his recruitment over Aaron Scott's. I think Michigan's probably got some work to do on Scott at this point in this recruitment. I think Ohio State is probably the heavy favorite for him as of right now, but we'll certainly see what happens. And like I said, it was kind of a surprise visit with Aaron Scott coming up. So it's always good to be pleasantly surprised when a highly regarded kid from Buckeye country ends up visiting for the junior day weekend here. So yeah, again, apologies. Elias Robinson is not the kid's name. It's Elias Rudolph is the four-star edge that I intended to talk about. So thank you for correcting me, John. Let's turn our attention here to two more kids from the state of Ohio. I definitely won't mess their last name up because they have the same last name. They are twin brothers, three-star offensive tackles, Devontae and Deontay Armstrong. Devontae is the higher ranked of the bunch. He is number 358 overall, so definitely hovering towards four-star status. Deontay is number 436 overall on the composite. Both of these guys are top 20 players in the state of Ohio in their recruiting class, and both recently acquired offers from Ohio State, so they will be in the running in this recruitment for both of these guys moving forward. So it'll really be Michigan and Ohio State, and they both have Penn State offers as well, and they hold that one in high regard too. So John, another recruitment here that Michigan got in on a little bit sooner. Michigan offered them back in November. Ohio State just came in, I think just a couple weeks ago, and offered them their scholarship. So, I mean, this is going to be another one that boils down to Michigan and Ohio State, it seems like. But I also think that Michigan is higher on other offensive tackles at this point. And we'll talk about another offensive tackle for the last prospect that we'll discuss. But it just seems like Sharon Moore has his priority list kind of stacked at this point. And I think the Armstrong brothers are kind of somewhere in the middle of all of it. They're certainly targets, and they would be welcome additions to the class. I think Moore certainly has strong interest in them, but I think at this time, I think Sharon is a little higher on some of the other tackles in this class. What do you have to say about these two kids that just visited Michigan this past weekend?
Yeah, I think while they're both listed at tackle, I think only Deontay, who's like 6'7", would stick at tackle. His brother Devontae is like an inch and a half shorter, which I'm not sure how that happens with identical twins, but he didn't get quite as lucky with the height. So I think he's more likely to slide in the interior when he gets to college. You know, Michigan's recruiting their teammate, in Ben Roebuck pretty hard. So it'd be pretty funny to get three offensive linemen from the same high school line in one class. But yeah, I'm not sure that'll totally work out. You know, they may want to go and do their own thing or stick with Ohio State, stay in state and stick with Ohio State. But we'll see where it goes. And, you know, there's a lot of tackles on the board right now. But I agree that guys like Andrew Sprague and Roebuck and some others may be a little bit higher right now.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Sprague and Blake Frazier as probably the tackles that Michigan definitely higher up. I mean, Frazier can probably play interior or at tackle. I guess he can be like a, you know, one size fits all offensive lineman, if you want to consider it like that. But yeah, Roebuck certainly fits the bill at offensive tackle. He's like 6'7". I mean, he's a tall guy. So it would be definitely interesting to take three offensive linemen from the same high school in one class, but I don't think it'll happen. I lean more towards Michigan wanting other guys at the position at this point in time. I mean, if they miss out on some of these guys that we've already mentioned, maybe they'll you know, push really hard for these two individuals. But yeah, I think the priority is a little higher with Sprague. Blake Frazier, Roebuck certainly is a good candidate to commit at some point. So while albeit the Armstrong boys, they're talented, I'm a little bit skeptical about where this one goes moving forward, but we'll certainly get there. I mean, there's a lot of time to evaluate all of this with the offensive line. They'll probably consider taking quite a bit of O linemen in this class. And let's just wrap up the podcast with an offensive lineman that Sharone Moore is very fond of in this 24 class. His name is Caleb Brewer. He's currently unranked on the composite, but probably won't be for very long, considering he's got offers from Penn State, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Nebraska. I mean, it just keeps going on for this kid. He's 6'6", 290. He's from Reading, Pennsylvania. So he spoke with Bryce Maritch after his visit, and it sounds like Michigan knocked this one out of the park. And to keep a long story short, he plans on coming back to Michigan soon. And he said, and I quote, he will, quote, 100% be coming back, end quote. So certainly sounds like one of his return visits at least will be an official visit. So, John, for an unranked prospect, Brewer's really blown up on the recruiting trail over the past 2 months. He's got a lot of really solid offers that I've already named off. So the Wolverines, they have their work cut out for them when it comes to this recruitment, just because of all of those good offers he has. But at the same time, it seems like this is a winnable recruitment for Michigan, just given the hugely positive reaction that he gave to the Michigan Insider after his visit. Sounds like he's going to come back at some point in the near future, probably an official visit. So at the very least, Michigan will be in the running until it's all said and done. What are your early thoughts and indications as far as where this one might go?
Yeah, it's kind of baffling that he still doesn't have a ranking on these sites yet, given all the offers and visits he has so far. But I think he debuted as like a four-star right from the jump, given the schools that are after him, especially Michigan. And I think it's a good thing that Michigan's identified him early and gotten him up on campus. I think he seems like that Big Ten Midwestern type of kid. So it'll probably be a battle between like the likes of Michigan State or sorry, of Penn State and other schools like that. So I think Michigan will have a good shot here. I think the Nittany Lions are going to be the biggest competition here, being the in-state school.
More than likely. And I believe that they've got a few other guys already committed along the offensive line. So I don't know where they've prioritized him in this recruiting class, but yeah, I mean, it's a fair assumption to say that Penn State will probably be one of the schools to watch in this recruitment moving forward, as will Michigan, as will some of these other bigger schools like Tennessee. Wisconsin's always had a good reputation for offensive lineman development. So we'll certainly see where this one goes, but I'm really intrigued by this recruitment just in general. The fact he doesn't have a composite ranking, wouldn't be surprised if he has one sometime soon. And also wouldn't be surprised to see him as a four-star in the near future. He's got good measurables. He's got a good offer list. It's just a matter of time before he gets a composite ranking and a bump in the rankings from the other sources as well. So yeah, that's it was a lot of kids to talk about today, John, but a lot of really highly regarded kids in the cycle that Michigan's in on early. It's a really solid foundation for what could be a really good 2024 class. So this is really important to talk about these kids moving forward. I know it's only, as we're recording this, it's January. This will be published in February, but it's early on in the cycle, but it's never too early to familiarize yourself with the kids who may end up being Michigan Wolverines in the future. Hence the name Future Brew, and that's why we do this. So thanks so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. Give John Simmons a follow at Simmons_John. And follow Mason Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel, and 5-star reviews and a subscription would certainly be appreciated as well. For John Simmons, I'm Vaughn Lozon. We'll talk to you guys next week with another edition of Future Brew.